So our reading today is the longer version of the greatest commandment. So it's from Mark 12, verses 28 to 34, and it's on page 1018 if you're following in the Bibles. The greatest commandment. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" "The most important one," answered Jesus, "is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this. Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." "Well said, teacher," the man replied. "You are right in saying that God is one and there's no other but him. To love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, and with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices." When Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And from then on, no one dared ask him any more questions.
Okay, good morning, everyone. Where several people are going to come up and speak about what God said to them and did amongst them at Spring Harvest, but I just thought I'd put it into context. This year's Spring Harvest was actually the middle of a 3-year session that they're doing. They last did that about 20 years ago, did 3 years, different things. Last year it was called No Greater Story, and it was about us being, as individuals, being very much part of God's story. How does your story fit in? Where do you fit in with what God is doing? And then this year, well, you've heard the focus verse a few times, but it was called No Greater Life, about being passionate, wholehearted followers of Jesus. What greater life can there be? Love him with everything you have, all those things that we've been singing and praying about this morning already. And next year they're doing a series called, the theme is No Greater Adventure, about finding your edge. It's actually based on Acts chapter 1 verse 8 next year, about receiving power from the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So they're going to be encouraging us next year to get out there. And surprisingly, they've actually already opened up the bookings for next year. They opened on Thursday, so a lot of the chalets at both Skegness and Minehead have already been booked. But there's a couple of these at the back if you're interested in going. If you're interested, when you've heard all these talks this morning, of being part of Spring Harvest next year, do have a word with one of us afterwards. It's very easy to book online. It's very easy, the whole booking process. So if you talk to one of us about it, we'll talk you through it. We're going to have another short reading in between talks a little bit later, before Meg talks. But Sarah, Bev, Sally and Meg are going to share their own personal experiences. What was God saying to each of them? Where did he challenge them individually? And as they give their testimonies, listen to what God might be saying to you this morning. How is God challenging you? Are you sitting comfortably? Maybe too comfortably. Sarah.
This was my first experience of any sort of Christian convention, and I know lots of you have been to Spring Harvest. and I wasn't quite sure what to expect. Well, I was overwhelmed by the sheer size of the event and the enthusiasm and joy of the participants. I believe about 10,000 people attended the events in Minehead and Skegness this year, and I was struck by the diversity of ages, all worshipping together. The Holy Spirit was certainly with us. From the energetic big start in the morning to the gathering in the evening, brilliant musicians and singers at top volume, with everyone enthusiastically singing and dancing. And in between, Bible study every morning with Andrew Ollerton, and a range of talks from speakers such as Jeff Lucas, Chris Rogers, Rachel Hughes, and Mark Madovan, to name just a few. There were also specialised sessions for children and youth, and there was early morning communion every day at the quayside. At the big gatherings in the evenings, there was always opportunity for prayer. They also had people doing sign language at many of the events, and excellent provision for people in wheelchairs. I won't even mention the retail opportunities, but so many wonderful Christian books, Bibles, and just so much you could buy. As Tim has just said, this year the theme was No Greater Life, and there's an accompanying book by Martin Young, who was our first speaker. So, No Greater Life, Embracing God's Design for Wholehearted Love. That was the second book of a trilogy by Martin Young. Last year it was No Greater Love, and next year it will be No Greater Adventure. The message to young and old over the 3 days was what it means to live, breathe, and act in the light of the story of God, who is beyond comparison, to be transformed from the inside out, and it will spill over to your family and friends and then the greater community. This year, Spring Harvest introduced a new song that we've just sung, Every Single Beat of My Heart, and it was sung enthusiastically every day, and it's very catchy. It was in my head all week. So we had 3 full days, and I feel I have taken a few steps forward in my spiritual journey. It was quite an experience to be immersed in Christianity and surrounded by Christians all day, every day. And thank you to Tim and Sally for organising the All Saints contingent.
Good morning. So this was my second year at Spring Harvest, and once again it did not disappoint. I've learnt many things that have helped me grow in my faith journey, and not least the very talented and inspirational speakers, including Rachel Hughes from Gas Street Church in Birmingham, of which I've decided one day I'm going to visit, and the lovely Kathy and Mark Madovan, who through their ability to keep things really real have shown me what is possible with our God. But for me, the highlight was the lovely Andrew Ollerton, who through his passion for Jesus and his dynamic storytelling really stirred my desire once again to surrender my life to Jesus even more than last year. So this morning I'd like to share with you a couple of stories that Andrew told that really resonated with me. The first one is that you can't put a price on a praying mother. Andrew talked about his upbringing and how his mother taught him that when you face a challenge in life, you don't worry about it, you pray about it. You pray about absolutely everything. Andrew spoke about when he was 13 or 14 and needed a school blazer. His mum had said they can't afford one, but she also said, we'll pray about it. And Andrew was like, really? That's ridiculous. You can't pray about a blazer. So his mum prayed. And then a few days later, they were out and stopped outside the Oxfam shop. And his mother told him to go in. He did. And there, on the rack, was a blazer with his school logo in his size. So it turns out you can pray about a blazer and everything else in life. This has encouraged me to want to pray more for my own son and about his daily challenges and everything he may face in life. Our God is a God who answers prayer. The second message that spoke to me is realizing that poverty is not what we lose, it's what we hold on to. I admit that there are times when I hold on to things in my life. I do what I think is right and what I want to do, not what God would have me do. Andrew explained this so vividly in a story about the South Indian monkeys, where the monkeys are a pest and therefore the farmers need to catch them, and they use a device, they use a coconut and they chain it down so it can't move, and they put a hole in the top, and it's just big enough that it can fit a monkey's paw in there. They've filled the coconut with rice, so the monkey comes in, puts his paw in, but then he's got a big paw and he can't remove it from the coconut. And he's sat there holding on to this rice. And then the farmer comes and the monkey's facing death and he's still holding on to this rice. So for me, as I say, I've held on to things in my past, that relationship, that conversation, that place, held on to what's familiar. But today I say, Lord, I let go and I give you everything. You gave everything for me, and there truly is no life greater than the life you have for us, and no love greater than the love you have for us. Amen.
I think it's fair to say, from my perspective, that the Lord challenged me at Spring Harvest. I decided to volunteer for prayer ministry in the main evening session, and at times that stretched me, but always it was an immense privilege to pray alongside others. One of the sessions that struck me particularly was Al Gordon's talk on Tuesday evening, and actually if you want to watch it, you can find it on YouTube. It's available for everybody. He was talking about the wave of the Spirit that is moving in this country. He had some amazing stories of what is happening. But the Lord said to him a couple of years ago that he needed to get ready, and his talk was about getting ready. He took the passage from Mark 1 about John the Baptist, prepare the way for the Lord. Are we willing to prepare the way for the Lord to move here? He came up with three things. Firstly, to be set apart. So often we lapse into a comfortable mindset. We just do the things that we're doing. Are we really expecting the Lord to break in? I believe the Lord is calling us to press the reset button, to repent, to consecrate ourselves for his work. Joshua 3, verse 5. The Lord said to the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. The second thing was, teach me to pray. Matthew Henry said, when God intends great mercy for his people, he sets them a praying. Are we willing to go back to the Lord and say, teach me to pray? To pray fervently for your kingdom to come, for those that we know to really encounter Jesus. And the third thing, come, Holy Spirit. Change my heart and lead me. We need to be led, we need to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. We can't do it otherwise. It's about him. We need to make room for the Holy Spirit. And we need to ask and keep on asking, because when the Holy Spirit comes, he flows out. We need more. So we need to be set apart and ask the Lord to help us to cry out for this town. Prepare the way in our hearts for him to move. Later in another session with Andrew Ollerton, he was talking about the cost. Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me. It will be inconvenient. It will mean changed priorities. His way and not ours. It was highlighted for me later in the week. Prior to going to Spring Harvest, we actually received the programme, and having perused it, there was one session that I really wanted to go to. That was my priority. It was on Thursday afternoon. I'd gone to something beforehand because I thought, well, I'll be in the same area, that'll be fine, except that session overran. And while I needed to just pop out, literally, and then go to the next session, when I got there, I was 3 minutes late. The venue was full and I was shut out. It was the one thing that I really believe the Lord wanted me to hear. So I was a bit disappointed. I headed to the bookshop and bought the book instead. And then I pottered around and walked towards the chalet. I got into conversation with a couple, which after a while resulted in me praying with them. It was quite a long conversation. Afterwards, I knew quite categorically that that was where I was meant to be. His priorities, not mine. So I'm challenged. Do we really love those around us who are lost? About 90% of this town are heading for the eternal cliff edge, and they can't see the edge. The Lord wants to move here, but he needs us to partner with him. I believe from a word that I heard 3 weeks ago, 3 or 4 weeks ago, that we are holding him back. Are we ready to be set apart, to learn to pray anew, to allow the Holy Spirit to come and change our hearts and to move with him? He needs us to partner with him. I responded, will you?
Just before Meg speaks, we're going to read a passage, a short passage from Mark chapter 14, about the woman with the alabaster jar. While he was in Bethany, reclining at the table in the home of Simon the leper, a woman came with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume made of pure nard. She broke the jar and poured the perfume on his head. Some of those present were saying indignantly to one another, "Why this waste of perfume? It could have been sold for more than a year's wages and the money given to the poor." And they rebuked her harshly. "Leave her alone," said Jesus. "Why are you bothering her? She has done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you will always have with you, and you can help them any time you want. But you will not always have me. She did what she could. She poured perfume on my body beforehand to prepare for my burial. Truly, I tell you, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her life." So I'm going to hand over to Meg. And Meg is actually going to finish close when she's given us her talk. She will close in prayer, so probably no, we'll save the applause. Thank you.
Morning. Okay, on the second day of Spring Harvest, Andrew Ollerton spoke about what it means to live up to the call of following Jesus, and this really resonated with me. Sometimes in life we get stuck. We hesitate, we hold back, we stay where it feels safe. But God doesn't leave us there. He's in it with us, giving us a push and calling us forward. As we looked at Mark's gospel, I felt that invitation so clearly to follow him, not halfway, not comfortably, but fully, because there is no greater life than following Jesus. Andrew used this phrase, "May you be covered in the dust of your rabbi," to walk so closely with Jesus that his way becomes your way. That kind of following isn't passive. It requires everything. And as a young person, that spoke to me even more. The world tells you to play it safe, to stay average, to not take risks. But average was never the call. Following Jesus means stepping out, making the risky move and letting God give you that shove forward, even when it feels uncomfortable. In Mark 14, which we just heard, the woman with the alabaster jar of the expensive perfume. It was worth so much in today's money, and yet she pours it out, giving Jesus the most precious thing she had. Not a portion, not what was left over, but everything. It spoke to me because it's a picture of what real devotion looks like. She understood deeply what true riches are. Her life had been changed, redeemed by Jesus, and her response was a wholehearted surrender. And it mirrors Jesus himself. She broke the jar, he broke the bread, and his body was broken on the cross. She foretold what was going to happen. His blood poured out for us, his life given completely, and there's no greater love than that. When we were far away, he brought us home. By grace we have been saved. We are alive in Christ, not because of what we've done, but because he gave everything for us. And yet it's still possible to be busy, to keep going through life and slowly lose the wonder of that, to forget the hope, the awe, and the depth of who Jesus is. But the most important thing, the thing that matters above everything else, is to stay passionate about him, not diluted, not distracted, but fully focused, because everything else is secondary. Following Jesus won't ruin your life, it will be the making of it. It's not the easy path, but it's the most meaningful one, and choosing it might feel like the most radical thing you can do, but it's also the most beautiful. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for all that you've been doing in and through Spring Harvest, for every person who has shared their story, their experiences, and the ways you've spoken to them. Thank you for the moments that have stirred something deeper within us. Help us not to stay stuck or play it safe, but to have the courage to follow you fully. Make us passionate about you above everything else, and give us boldness to take that step, even when it feels risky. Teach us what it means to give you our best, just like the woman with the perfume, to live wholeheartedly for you. And as we continue forward, shape us, change us, and lead us into the life you've called us to, the life that is truly worth living. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.